Welcome back to the Romans Bible study. This study covers chapter 8, verses 29 through 31, titled Called According to His Purpose. And right now we're just going slowly through the end of Romans 8. We just did 28 through 30, so lots of overlap here. As always, I encourage you to read these verses, and you might also want to read into chapter 9 as well, because of the connection between the two chapters. And also just always encourage you to memorize, including even trying to memorize all of Romans. The blog post has a review of everything we've covered up to now from chapter 1 through chapter 8, but I always skip that on the audio version here and go directly into the introduction. So as we get deeper into controversial topics in Romans, I thought it'd be helpful to list some of the key words and phrases in what theologians call this, quote, golden chain, supporting each with other verses so that you can see this is not an isolated topic in the New Testament. So this golden chain of foreknowledge, predestination, justified, glorified, all of that, that we see here in 29 through 31. So foreknowledge, that is also in Romans 11, 2. And 1 Peter 1, 2. Predestined, you can also see that word in 1 Corinthians 2, 7, Ephesians 1, 5, and 1, 11, and Romans 9, 23. To be conformed to Christ's image, that is in Philippians 3, 21, 1 Corinthians 15, 49, Colossians 3, 10, 1 John 3, 2. Christ the firstborn, that's in Colossians 1, 15 and 18 also, Hebrews 1, 6, Revelation 1, 5. Justified, 1 Corinthians 6, 11 is one place to find that, and glorified, John 17, 22, Hebrews 2, 10. So some key words in these verses, God and capital He 11 times, the word those 5 times, also is 4 times, us and we 3 times, predestined and justified, we see those twice. So remember too, a big theme of Romans 8 is this Deus pro nobis, God for us. Chapter 8 started by saying there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, so we continue to see the main emphasis here is the assurance of our salvation, but also the damnation awaiting those who hate God, and that is a reason to share the gospel. We also discuss being careful about thinking we have to identify with a certain group like Calvin or Arminius, but instead focusing on serving Christ, repenting daily, taking up our cross daily, following Him. Sproul, he reminds that we are believers today, quote, not because we made God's call effectual in our lives, it's because God did that. So that's what verse 28 is saying, that we are called according to His purpose, not ours. And what is a purpose? It's a plan. It's a desired end. God has a goal in mind with calling us. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says the goal of this plan is your sanctification. And the goal of sanctification is that God would be glorified through Jesus Christ. So 1 Peter 4:11 says. So that is why this calling is referred to as an effectual calling, a call that produces a result, a calling we couldn't resist and that brought about our salvation so that God would be glorified. So finally, note this, quote, golden chain is past tense. It's already done. God's plan is infinite and eternal, something our finite and mortal brains can't fully comprehend. And I think that is a big part of being a Christian, is using reason, but also at the same time trusting that we can't fully comprehend an infinite God with our finite brains. Okay, looking at verses 29 and 30, which we also covered in the last study together, this golden chain. So we have this pattern in these verses of foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justifying, glorifying. So this is a both and pattern here. It's not a hierarchy where foreknowledge is first, predestination is second, and so on. So the repetition of the word and the word also, that confirms that this is not a hierarchy. So this both and theme It's everywhere in Romans. It's an important reminder of God's complexity. We want him to be just doing one thing at a time, but he's doing infinite things all the time. And so regarding the actions listed in this golden chain, God did these already. So let's look a little closer at each of the key words of this golden chain. So foreknew, those he foreknew. The Greek there is progeno. It's good to remember that ultimately God wants a relationship, not a man-based religion. Sproul says we could say here, quote, those whom he foreloved, or those whom he knew in a personal, intimate, redemptive sense from all eternity, those are the ones he predestined. So read also Romans 11:2 and 1 Peter 1:2 and surrounding verses for more biblical context on how the word is used. Okay, predestined, the Greek is pro orizo, and that means in the Greek vocabulary a sovereign determination in which a fixed or definite limit is sovereignly decreed. So other verses about that, 1 Corinthians 2:7, Ephesians 1:5, 1:11, Romans 9:23. Just to remind you, this is not an isolated word in the New Testament. So God's plan in predestination is for us to be conformed to Christ's likeness through our relationship with Christ. It's for his glory. So here is where the hierarchy matters, that Christ is the firstborn among many brothers, it says. And so we need to be careful with that. Firstborn here is not about genetics. It's about federalism, that preeminence of Christ, the supremacy of Christ described in Hebrews 1. Sproul says, quote, the only reason we find anywhere in Scripture as to why anyone is saved is for Christ's sake. So those whom the Father gives to the Son come to the Son. That's what the Bible says. John 17:2. So one conclusion to draw that is also consistent with the Bible and the overall theme in Romans is God's choosing is not based on some foreseen thing we have done or will do later, some requirement or condition that we did or will do later. It says he did, not we did. We are not predestined by race or religion or nation or family heritage, but by the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:5. In chapter 9 of Romans, Paul is going to continue explaining predestination, and he's going to do it in greater and probably even more controversial detail. So get ready for that. Okay, so foreknew, predestined. Let's look at called. God calls all whom he predestines. Again, these verses seem to discuss what God does, not what we do at all. Otherwise, sanctification would be part of this golden chain. So we don't call God first. He calls us and we cry out to him. We don't justify ourselves or glorify ourselves. He does that. Sanctification, though, that's the team effort. It's the, quote, setting of our minds on him that we can do only because of the Holy Spirit at work in us. The beautiful, mysterious, but very real relationship we have with Christ when we're born again. Now, think about something. This calling of those, that definitely doesn't sound like the, quote, whoever believes of John 3:16. But John 3:16 can't be false and this true, right? Or vice versa. So what's going on here? Perhaps some of this goes back to Romans 1, where God basically, quote, gives up on those who are unthankful and do not acknowledge him as God, or Romans 2:4, and his kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. So we know God is patient and kind with us, and since the purpose there is to lead us to repentance, then it does sound like his kindness is for everyone. I think the most important thing to consider here is that God initiates. God alone is righteous. Salvation is his work, not ours. He calls. We only respond because the Holy Spirit is already at work in us. Whoever believes of John 3:16, that's those who have already had the Holy Spirit do a work. It's an effectual calling, a calling that produces a result, and that's salvation. And that may not be a perfectly satisfying answer, but I'm going to trust the Bible is true and trustworthy, and God's ways are more unsearchable than I may prefer sometimes. So that's something that Paul's going to remind us of at the end of chapter 11. Okay, moving on to justified. God is both just and the justifier, right? Romans 3:26. We don't justify ourselves although we do spend a lot of time trying to justify our actions, right? Like the driver saying, well, officer, I had to drive 90 in a 35 because I was late for work, things like that. So one great conclusion from the Golden Chain is that if God has called us and we have been born again, repented of our sins and believe and are walking the sanctification road, then we can be 100% confident that we are also justified. In other words, we cannot, quote, lose our salvation, as some argue. You're either saved or you're not. People can have a false conversion, for sure, but that's because Satan is a deceiver, right? But if you're truly saved, you cannot lose that. You will not lose that ever. And that should bring great peace. Okay, last word here, glorified. All the justified are also glorified. We will, quote, fall asleep at some point, our souls to heaven and our physical bodies returning to dust, but at Christ's return, we will receive a new and glorified body. That's what 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 57 says, and other places as well. Okay, last verse here, verse 31. Paul asks in this verse, what then shall we say to these things? Well, Deus pro nobis is what we should say. God is for us. And of course, verse 31 is not saying nobody will ever rise up to oppose us or persecute us on earth. This is an eternal declaration. Ultimately, nobody can be against us. Nobody's going to defeat us. Paul just got done writing the Golden Chain to illustrate yet again how we are, quote, marked safe from hell. He's saying no one can drag us into hell with them. He's saying that someone may hate Christians, and they hate God, really, not Christians. And they might hate Christians so much that they kill you. But that's temporary, right? Nobody and no thing can keep you from God's eternal love, which is a major theme of the rest of chapter 8. So, concluding here, remember that one of the main things the Bible describes is the righteous versus the wicked. We've talked about that a lot, that contrast. Righteousness is through faith alone, a gift of saving faith given to us by God. Righteousness is from God alone, credited to our account, Romans 4. We have no righteousness in and of ourselves, Romans 3:10. Adam was born righteous but fell to temptation. After that, Romans 5:12 says sin entered the world and death with it through Adam. Only Christ was tempted and did not fall. A perfect sacrifice was needed for our sins. His righteousness is imputed to us as a free gift. The gift is for all who believe. And for those who believe, which are the called, they are led to repentance by the Holy Spirit. They don't lead themselves to God. God leads them to himself. God knew beforehand who would believe and who would not. He knew who he would call and who he wouldn't call. I think we have to trust his effectual calling, but also trust his kindness leading us to repentance. That's Romans 2:4 and elsewhere. There's a patience there, a giving people time to repent and believe. If God were impatient and unkind, humans would be extinct, right? But since God is patient with us, we need to be patient too as we read through Romans. We won't have all our questions answered immediately, if ever. We won't understand the meaning of every word used, but we can trust that God has saved us. There is no condemnation now or ever for believers. We are forever his. All right, up next is Romans 8, 31 through 39.
Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, not the good I've done or the seeds I've sown. Blood was the price, love. Alone.